Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
827, I'm Mike Durler with you. Joining me on the phone, Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mike.
I tell you what, the 56th legislation is done, and not too much damage was done, but not too much help was done either. So let's kind of talk about some of this stuff here. First of all, let's talk about the grocery receipt tax reform. No, despite $3.6 billion surplus, we couldn't get it through, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, quite honestly. Even with a progressive legislature, I figured with that kind of money available, they might actually do something to improve the substantive nature of New Mexico's economy, make us a more business-friendly state, especially those small businesses that we know form the basis of tomorrow's bigger businesses. Sadly, that did not happen, and by any other definition, we call that a failure of the legislative session. There were other policies that we wanted to see adopted, like school choice or some real education reform or addressing the governor's emergency powers. Alas, those did not happen. We were kind of not expecting them to happen, though. Gross receipts tax reform was the one thing we really hung our hats on, hoping for some positive change this session. And it's hard to really say exactly why this didn't happen. Metropolitan areas like the city of Albuquerque in particular lobbied against it because they would have lost some money from that reduction in or elimination of taxation of business inputs and services. Unfortunately, those cities are flush with money, and the legislature was not willing to. Democrats in the legislature very sympathetic to those city governments, and in spite of the fact that the city of Albuquerque is flush with money, wasting money hand over fist on things like free bus service. They just were not willing to actually do the reform in Santa Fe. So, we'll just start the conversation by saying that overall, especially given the failure of that tax reform, this session cannot be considered a success by our standards. And really, I think anybody who's serious about improving New Mexico's economy, nothing happened in this session. In fact, yeah. Bills, the HB 547, the tax omnibus bill, has one of the most complicated legislative histories I've ever seen, because it was passed in the House, passed in the Senate, but a different bill, then it was concurred with in the House and Senate in separate votes. So, but just really not addressing the fundamental problems facing New Mexico. Right. And there's more to the story, but I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that, because there's already a lot of complexity and information there.
Well, there is a lot. It's like the more we can put into this thing, the more we can hide stuff, Like there was an increase in higher tax rates eliminated, but taxes going up for drinkers and cigar smokers and corporations and on capital gains, despite the surplus. Film subsidies up as well, like you said, anything that would really benefit and stimulate growth in New Mexico wasn't there.
So there was, the original House version had personal income tax increases with two new brackets going up to 6.9%, and that would have been for truly high earners, but 6.5% would have been implemented for relatively middle upper income folks. And, you know, that was amended out on the House floor. So that was a good thing. But, you know, there was no strategy here. Democrats control all branches of government and have comfortable control over it. And even from a Democrat perspective, there was just no rhyme or reason. Are we progressives? Do we want higher income taxes or higher taxes on big corporations? Or do we want to stick it to the lower income people and lower corporations? So, you know, they raised the tax on corporate income taxes by eliminating the $500,000 tax bracket on corporations, which means that small corporations are going to pay higher taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Then you're adding taxes onto drinkers and smokers. Now, mm-hmm. people who drink alcohol tend to be of, you know, it's relatively distributed along income lines. So people who have more money spend more money on alcohol because they're buying the fancy, you know, $25, $30, $40, $100 bottle of wine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy who doesn't have much money is buying a
Ripple.
Cheaper Busch Light or 40 ounce of God knows what at the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you're impacting that differently, unnecessarily. And you're not making the dent that they seem to think in the alcohol problem that exists in this state, because the only thing they did do is that they dedicated the new tax to alcohol treatment programs. That's wonderful, but you could have done that at any time for the existing revenue. Now, smoking taxes on smokers of any kind are regressive. Those impact the poor. You're also impacting people who have a capital gain, and that may be wealthy people, but it may not be.
Mm-hmm.
If you build your business over 25 or 30 years of your life, you may now be paying a higher tax if you try to sell that business. It's all over the place. But then, on the other hand, you're, as you mentioned, the film subsidies, and that wasn't in a lot of the earlier versions of the bill.
Yeah.
But they're now going to be handing 40 cents on the dollar of our tax money over to certain film projects. Additionally, you're raising the caps on those. And Christine Chandler, the former tax committee chair, said that, you know, the gross receipts tax now isn't going to be cut by half a cent next year. It's going to be phased in over 4 years. And if revenues drop even a relatively small amount, they're going to end that tax cut and raise the gross receipts tax back up, which is in and of itself bad tax policy and totally unnecessary. But she said, we've got to make room for more film subsidies. And it's just, even internally, the conflicts, it reminds me of FDR's New Deal in the sense that they would enact conflicting policies during the New Deal that ultimately caused the Great Depression to be great. And historians now agree on that the New Deal was a total failure in terms of actually moving the United States out of the Great Depression. We're not in the Great Depression, but New Mexico, New Mexicans are depressed because we're 50th and darn near everything.
Yeah.
And the tax bill that we saw the legislature enact doesn't move the needle in any notable way in a better direction. And that's just a fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, last week I had a news story where the governor kind of chided the legislator and told them to be fiscally responsible by passing the 14% increase in the budget. In other words, to the governor, fiscal responsibility means spend more.
Exactly, yeah. You know, they took an already bloated budget of 12% increase year over year, and that wasn't enough, so they went back and added even more money to it to give it a total of 14%. And right there, again, gives away the game. Obviously, with the kind of money flowing through the roundhouse this session, there was no question it was going to be hard to enact fiscal restraint in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. Now, if they listened to us on a weekly basis and actually took it to heart instead of what the lobbyists have to say,
yeah,
they would know that growing government actually is a negative for economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, New Mexico didn't get in the 50th position in every study overnight, and these people are certainly not the kind that are going to get us out of 50th place, even with an unprecedented budget surplus. So, yeah, just incredibly bloated spending on top of already bloated governments, none of which is going to move the needle. So on that front, very much a missed opportunity at best. I think by postponing or pausing and including triggers in the gross receipts tax reduction that weren't in there in most of the versions of the bill discussed before, they really shot themselves in the foot yet again. I mean, that was one of the small saving graces of this entire piece of legislation. I will add one additional small good thing about this bill. Again, got added in right at the very end. We've talked about gross receipts taxation of deductibles and copays. It always came out of the doctor's bottom line. They couldn't pass this on to patients. And in something of a miracle, the legislature did add that in for elimination at the last minute. So not a huge revenue hit. And that's kind of my theme about the gross receipts tax. It's not always about the dollars and cents. It's about what you're doing, what you're taxing, and how you're taxing it and making things worse here in New Mexico through your poor tax policy that may ultimately not generate all that much revenue for the state of New Mexico. So it's a lose-lose. And taxing deductibles and copays when you're ostensibly trying to keep medical providers in your state, that was obviously, you know, something that needed to be addressed. And, you know, kind of out of left field at the end of the session, that was one of the small victories, but certainly does not overwhelm the faulty thinking and the lack of prioritization, even among progressive Democrats, that happened in this session.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, let's talk about, we've still got this medical provider shortage. And then what about the medical malpractice caps?
Yeah, and this one, it gets pretty crazy at the end of a session here in New Mexico. Things start to happen quickly, and I don't remember what conversation we had exactly last week, but as our conversation last Tuesday, I think it really looked like the legislature was not going to address the medical malpractice issue. I had been sitting in on either physically or online hearings involving medical practitioners coming up to Santa Fe, wearing their white coats, talking about how they're not going to be able to obtain insurance and do business in the state of New Mexico if the legislature did not address the medical malpractice caps. This legislation was passed in 2021, theoretically a compromise bill, but again, the Democrats control the process, and maybe you had some Republicans going along with what they hoped was the best they could get. But either way, it was a bad piece of legislation, the kind of thing that should never have come up in the first place. So, you know, fast forward a couple years, and we were hearing from a lot of medical providers that they were going to be leaving the state. And Democrats were, you know, basically in the legislature turning a blind eye to those people. They were killing bill after bill after bill up in the roundhouse that was going to address the medical malpractice problem. And then in what I can, you know, you could only describe as a miracle, but I really would describe as Michelle Lujan Grisham, the governor, telling very clearly either leadership directly or all of the legislators on the Democratic side, saying, look, guys, I am not going to be the governor that oversees the departure of all the medical practitioners from the state of New Mexico. I want you to go in and do something and come out at the other side with something that I can sign. And so when the Democrats do have the wind in their sails, so to speak, they can will move quickly. So after killing bill after bill, they decided to limit the medical malpractice liability for independent clinics not affiliated with hotels. They reduced it from $5 million, which was under the new law, to $1 million. The previous law was $750,000. So, you know, you got a little bit of upward trajectory, but there's a big difference between going to $1 million versus going to $5 million. And the thing flew through the session in the last week. And if it's not already been signed, it's on the governor's desk and will be signed very shortly. So while the tax bill, definitely a lost opportunity and multiple lost opportunities, this one, they kind of pulled a, I know you're of a certain age. You probably remember the Alcoa fantastic finishes at the end of football games. They always play at the 2-minute warning. And, this was a bit of a fantastic finish here for the legislature. Of course, doesn't quite work the same as a football game.
Yeah.
The Republicans were on team reform from day one, so there was no opposition to this, aside from the trial attorneys and the Democrat special interest groups. That, you know, I'm not saying they were rolled. They still got some things out of the bill, including higher caps on hospitals, as passed in 2021. But they just had overreached, even. In a Democrat progressive state like New Mexico, and they had to take some compromise and comeuppance there. Otherwise, they weren't going to be able to sue any medical providers because there weren't going to be any in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah. And I tell you what, you know, you hear them talk about how this medical malpractice takes care of the rights of the patient, but you're not taking care of the patient when you run all the doctors out.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a balancing act that you have to deal with. And, you know, as I said, it is always the case, I've said, but in this particular issue, the state of New Mexico has this unique ability to do bad policy consistently and across the board. And we're not that big of a state, so we're not California. We can't cling to our past greatness and our high income levels and our tech industry. We're just kind of afloat here and doing bad policy with a 2 million person population. California has such a large population. They can do bad policy across the board and get away with it to an extent. Although people are fleeing California, New Mexico, not in that same situation. And you know, we have huge Medicaid population. We're a poor state. We're rural in a lot of ways. Big geographically, small population. There's a lot of problems with the gross receipts tax still in the way it impacts physicians, Medicaid still being taxed. There's all kinds of problems. And the medical malpractice in and of itself may not have been the deal breaker in a state like California, but here in New Mexico, it was going to be the kiss of death for a lot of doctors. And that really is something that needed to be addressed. And they, thankfully, the governor... you know, even though we disagree with her so often, she rightly sees, you know, because of the nature of her position, the bigger picture. And we may not agree with her when she sees different things, but in this case, she got it right. And it's worth acknowledging that fact. She was able to get those Democrats to the table and have them ram this bill through.
There you go. That sounds like a good one. Well, speaking of bad policy, and fits right in with the gerrymandering of the redistricting, HB 4. This thing is just bad from the get-go and all the way through.
Yeah, this is one of the systematic issues that, quite frankly, Democrats passed as a way to ensure that they keep a grip on New Mexico politics and the majority. It's touted as an election reform. In reality, it's a play to really retain power. It's a play to make elections less secure, more prone to fraud, more prone to the potential for controversy, and people who feel like their vote somehow may not have counted, or that you may more likely have fraudulent votes cast in any given election. And it's the provisions in this bill are pretty well documented. An automatic voter registration if you go to the DMV or some other government service provider. If you sign up for a permanent voter, absentee voter list, drop boxes in every county. A real mess in a way that you're making outcomes of elections less secure, and the more potential being there for abuse and fraudulent behavior, and then getting felons back into the voter pool much more quickly without their probationary period ending. So not great stuff, and Democrats think that this is going to result in them further extending their hegemony over New Mexico's political scene, and they may or may not be correct in that regard, because we haven't seen voters willing to hold them accountable for their manifest failures, and now it'll just be a marginally more difficult for them to be held accountable, and until the voters decide that they're ready to change directions, they're going to continue along this vein, both economically, when it comes to the education system keeping us in last place, and generally speaking, the kinds of policies that we've seen since Michelle Lujan Grisham took over and had a Democrat majority in 2019.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where you have to look at the intent of the bill also, because the intent of this bill was to maintain Democrat control and to keep Democrats in power. That's the only intent for the bill. This bill has nothing to do with fair voting rights, because this deal, just like the gerrymandering of the redistricting, cut the votes of many people, and they lost their voice. I mean, this is just strictly nothing more than a power grab.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they can try to message this differently, but the fact is that it's pretty obvious to watch what's happening, and the question is, will voters penalize them for it? And that's something that we just haven't seen very often in New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things that no was said to, or things that didn't happen, some good, some bad, but no limits on governor's emergency power, plastic ban dies, and no minimum wage increase.
Yeah, and it is important to recognize that there were some victories for sanity in the legislature this time around. There always are. Even these Democrats with these progressive so-called majorities can't ram through every single harebrained scheme that they want. Killing bad ideas is certainly a good thing. Obviously, as we talked about, this is the type of year with the budget surplus available that we really would have liked to have seen some actually good public policy. But on the two kind of biggest, most important bills economically this session, which we've already discussed, the tax bill and the medical malpractice issue, the tax bill is a dud, and the medical malpractice issue is simply correcting a bad mistake that was made in 2021. So in terms of forward momentum economically, not a lot to hang our hats on. But killing bad bills is good. I thought for sure plastic bag ban was going to pass. There was progressive majorities in the legislature that were seemingly poised to do that, and maybe they just didn't feel like they wanted to try to impose that policy in places like Alamogordo or Carlsbad or Farmington. They'll stick to the local strategy where, if Albuquerque or Santa Fe or Las Cruces or Silver City want to impose a bag ban, that's their right, but they're not going to try to do that across the state of New Mexico and some of these more conservative areas. Some of the green agenda fell by the wayside. Net zero died in its first committee. The clean fuel standard, which has been a priority of this governor. So I may have praised her a few minutes ago somewhat, but she's not overall worthy of praise on her policies.
Yeah.
Clean fuel standard would have forced the addition of ethanol and other products into the gas tank, or the use of electric vehicles or some combination thereof. And that was rejected somewhat surprisingly. And then the minimum wage increases. I started off the session because these bills were some of the first filed, and we've already ramped up our minimum wage from $7.50 to $12 an hour. Christine Chandler wanted to increase that to $16 an hour next year and index it to inflation. And I guess even, again, these progressives said that's a little too aggressive and might cause some harm. And it's funny because you see all kinds of people on the left claiming that minimum wages don't harm job producers. They don't make it more difficult to create jobs in a particular place. But when it comes to policies like a $16 an hour minimum wage in New Mexico indexed to inflation, which would have put us at the very top nationwide, states like New York and California, even they deprioritize those kinds of things. It's a tacit admission on their part that we're right and they're wrong about the broader policy, but what they hope to do with their minimum wages is increase it, broadly speaking, in line with overall expenses, but not so much that you notice any of the harms associated with the minimum wage. So they're always trying that delicate dance, and $16 an hour, I think, would have really pushed the minimum wage in New Mexico into a place where it would have resulted in the obvious deaths of numerous businesses, and they just weren't willing to do that. And kudos to them, but also it's worth noting that they do tacitly admit that there are drawbacks to this policy. I know it's a shocker.
Yeah, I tell you what, if that would have gone through, $16 an hour would have made the average employee, beginning employees, making $2,769 a month. I mean, that would translate into, instead of a $3 hamburger, a $7.50 hamburger.
Yeah. And same kind of concept with paid leave. That one looked like it was going to pass in the legislature. It made its way through the Senate and wound up dying. That was one of the last big threats that was active in the legislative session. With about 2 weeks remaining, that one was heard in the House Commerce Committee after having already passed through the Senate and it died. So another one of those bad ideas that fortunately fell by the wayside. Of course, good ideas are also not discussed in the legislature. I always chalk them up to dogs that don't bark, so to speak. And you could look at everything from educational choice. There were bills introduced to do that. Accountability, enacting Mississippi-style reforms in education. The education system largely was kept intact at its august 52nd ranking, so nothing done to generate better outcomes for our education system in this session, despite, what in many states would be a five-alarm fire. You hit the very bottom of the barrel 50 seconds and in the National Assessment of Educational Progress on fourth grade reading, fourth grade math, eighth grade reading, and eighth grade math. Do it across the board, and a lot of states are going to be running around with their hair on fire. Here in the land of Minyana is just kind of, we're last place again in education. Yeah. No big deal.
We're comfortable.
Things like a right to work law. I mean, that's totally out of left field, but not even introduced. But it's something that as recently as the Susana Martinez administration was hotly contested, didn't go, nothing was done on that. And of course, PNM and other utilities have, but PNM especially, with the closure of the San Juan Generating Station, have expressed concern about keeping the lights on this summer when the heat really gets going. And nothing happened with regard to addressing the Energy Transition Act. So, and that's just scratching the surface. I mean, we talked about how with the $3.6 billion surplus, it should seriously be considered that we start reducing to the point of elimination our personal income tax, bold reforms, eliminating the corporate income tax. There's no reason to be raising that tax. Let's move towards eliminating it entirely. And obviously, I could go on and on and on and on about all the positive policies that weren't so much as introduced or discussed. And that's just where we are in New Mexico. So, some good things, some bad things, but in general, a missed opportunity for New Mexico.
All the way around it was and stuff. So, well, Paula, we look forward to our next discussion next week. And I think one thing we need to touch on more next week will be electricity shortage that may be coming in May or June. And I think we need to cover that in a little bit more detail. But time's run out today. So thanks again, Paul. Keep working on it. Stay dry up there. Looks like you guys are getting inundated with rain up there today.
Yeah, we'll always take that. And it's a big switch from last spring where we actually had a really, last winter was really dry. Mm-hmm. And then we had some modest rainfall or snowfall, depending on your area, in the springtime. But then it really stopped on April 1st. And, the good news is we've had a lot more kind of inundations this spring. And I think I can't speak for, this summer, but certainly it looks like it's going to be a much better year moisture-wise than it was last year. So don't hold me to that, but that's my unofficial broadcast or forecast there.
There you go. Well, I tell you what, if you're a skier or a snowboarder, head up to the Sandias or Ski Santa Fe because they're getting it today.
Heck yeah, exactly.
There you go. Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. Check out Tipping Point, New Mexico this Thursday night. Paul, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you next Tuesday morning.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Bye-bye.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.